Never give up and never give in. This was my mantra in the fourth grade. You could even say it was my personal mission statement if we had used language like that then. Never give up, never give in. Why? Because every adult I knew kept telling me that, whether it was my baseball coach or my Boy Scout troop leader, or even my piano teacher, although I was convinced when she said that it was not sincere. Never give up, never give in. However, and this is a huge however, when my fourth grade classmate, Kelly Dillon, was slowly twisting my head off in his super deluxe killer headlock, the one that he had seen administered convincingly on pro wrestling the night before, which I considered to be stupid and phony, I thought perhaps I might want to consider never give up and never give in. I was thinking that perhaps discretion would be the better part of valor than having your head twisted off by Kelly Dillon on the playground. Discretion as the better part of valor. That phrase came to mind for me when reading about the Pharisees plotting to entrap Jesus in today's gospel. They came to him with the sticky old question, "Tell us, Jesus, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Jesus answered, "Whose image and whose inscription is on the coin?" His opponents rightfully answered, "Caesar, the emperor," which led Jesus to conclude, "Therefore, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." Through the centuries, Jesus' answer, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's," has been traditionally cited to support issues related to separation of church and state. Jesus' answer has prompted many discussions and much controversy. To the extent of the church's involvement in the political process and the responsibility of every Christian to be salt and light and leaven. On the surface, it does indeed look like a church and state, God or Caesar thing. For example, some think that bishops go too far when they tell the faithful whom to vote for based on whether or not one champions freedom of choice or that abortion is always a sin. Others think the state has usurped its powers when it abolishes all things religious from the public square, from Christmas carols by the local middle school band at their holiday concert. To telling county employees you could be fired for wishing someone a Merry Christmas. Oh, that it was that simple. A church and state thing. Then we could spend the rest of this time this morning discussing church and state issues. Very entertaining, isn't it, to discuss those issues? And in the end, we would be where we were before we started, and that would be having let the ACLU and the Christian right go on calling each other un-American and leave it at that. But there will be no such entertaining conversation, because what Jesus said to his opponents completely dismisses the idea that this question has anything to do with religion and politics or church and state. It has everything to do with image. Image. So I want to know this morning, whose sneakers do you favor? Do you favor Michael Jordan sneakers? I'm going to guess that there's a certain age population out here that does favor wearing the image of Michael Jordan's sneakers. I, on the other hand, Chuck Taylor, All-Star Converse kind of guy. You got to be of a certain age to know what I'm talking about. And not the high cut, the low cuts, not the high tops, right? We wear people's names on our clothing. We wear people's names on our cars. Image is everything for us. And certainly that was the case when Jesus asked, whose image is on the coin? Whose image and whose inscription appears on the coin, Jesus asks. And when he asks that question, he raises the stakes. He moves the question and answer out of the realm of church and state, politics and religion. He moves it into a question about faithfulness to God. One of the early fathers of the Christian church, Tertullian, was one of the first to understand this. Reasoning that humans are created in God's image, Tertullian called men and women the coins of God, who belong to God as surely as Caesar's minted coins belong to Caesar. We are the coins of God. Ah, that is the rub. When it was a question and answer dealing with politics and religion and church and state, we could just simply ignore it. But when it becomes a question of your faithfulness and mine, we can't. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God's what is God, is saying in effect, if the emperor wants a few coins, fine. Give them gladly, because giving them will remind you that a person's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, but in hearing God's word and doing God's will. Giving to God what is God's constitutes a greater challenge to all of us. Such giving or stewardship before God is never merely limited to money, but rather this quality of stewardship offers as a gift all that we are, all that we have discovered ourselves to be, and all that we might become. In the same way, I wanted to say with all my heart and all my mind and soul that I wanted to hold to that childhood creed, never give up and give in. The tighter Kelly Dillon's forearm became around my neck, the more I realized I needed to modify my personal mission statement. And isn't that exactly what happens to us as individuals and as a nation? Our possessions and our desires are like a stranglehold around our neck. We go from consumption to dysfunction in our pursuit of the latest and greatest. We don't want to give up anything, and we don't want to give in to anything. Why, even most of us don't even want to give up talking on our cell phones while driving or texting. We really want to have it all. And we're willing to take that risk. But we kid ourselves into thinking that if only we work smarter, or maybe work for home, or read the latest How to Do It book, or find the right personal trainer. God had every right to be angry with the people of Israel, who found themselves in today's first reading from Isaiah, living as exiles. Having turned from God, having put in their trust in their earthly rulers, they were dragged off into exile. And yet God does the one thing seemingly impossible for even God to do, and that is have a secular ruler, a Persian king named Cyrus, who doesn't even worship God, much less believe in the God of the Israelites, set God's people free. Even more unthinkable, this is the same God who will give up and give in and give over to us his only Son, our Savior Jesus. Our Savior Jesus, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, in whom we have the promise of grace, all that we need, whenever we need it and wherever we need it, to turn around and give back to God what is God's to begin with. Never give up or give in. We want to follow our own dreams and our own ways. But the salvation history, the good news of Scripture, the good news of the gospel, is that the life, the lively, lived life is found in God. God is offering us something completely different. God offers us the opportunity to cry uncle, which is literally Lord have mercy, and God will. To have our lives turned around and reoriented toward God, the reason for this is because you and I, we bear the image of God. In fact, all of humanity bears the image of God. We are created in God's image. Because you and I bear the image of God, we need to be in God, and God needs to be in us. We bear the image of God, all of us. And whenever any one of us, whenever that divine image of God in our humanity is being denied or desecrated in any way, political, economic, social, or even religious, we need to stand up and speak out. We need to speak a revolutionary word. And that revolutionary word is the word of the cross. For not only are we made in the image of God, but we bear the inscription of God. By virtue of our baptism, we have the sign of the cross made on our foreheads. Bearing the cross of Christ and made in God's image, this kind of belonging demands mutual and universal respect and reverence. To do or say otherwise is to desecrate that which belongs to God and negate what Jesus said. Give to God what is God's. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. That's what Jesus was doing for you and me, for the whole world, when he hung on the cross and rose from the grave. Giving to God what is God's. You are God's. I am God's. Sinners us all. But this is who God wants, that we might know the forgiveness of sins, that we might know the joy of God's grace. Giving to God what is God's, we are redeemed by Christ Jesus to be God's holy people in the world. I am not only wearing my Calvin Klein shoes this morning, my Hanes underwear, and my CM Almy clergy shirt, I am also wearing the sign of the cross. And I see it. I see it on you as well. It is the image we bear to the world, the cross of Jesus Christ, and God's love for all people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.